Our reading for today is taken from St. Paul's second letter to young Timothy, a pastor, and the third chapter beginning with the first verse. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In high school, during physics class one day, I was sharing a book with a classmate, and I happened to look at his hand, and on the top of his hand, about the size of a quarter, was a burn mark. It had turned very dark red and brown, kind of gray on the edges. It looked horrible. And I said, "What happened to your hand?" And he said, "It's my ashtray." And apparently he would put out his cigarettes on the top of his hand. I said, "Doesn't that hurt?" He said, "Not anymore. It used to. The first times I did it, it hurt a lot. But after a while, your skin gets dead because you burn the nerve cells and you don't feel it anymore. Now I don't even feel it." I often think of that incident, how gross that looked, when I hear texts like this for myself. Because the same thing can happen to our consciences. Our consciences about sin. We get so used to it, we fall into it so easily that we start to lose any sensitivity about it. This week in the church year, we will be looking at things that deal with confirming us in our faith, confirming us in the baptismal faith where God made us his own dear children, washing us in the water of Christ's blood to forgive us our sins, give us faith in him. Paul is addressing the fact that we live in a wicked world and we live in wicked times, but he's not talking here about the danger of the evil that's out there among unbelievers. He's talking about inside of the church. He's talking about the danger that comes when people who profess to be Christians begin embracing things that they clearly know are sinful, and they just don't care anymore. That's what he's addressing in our text, having a careless attitude about repentance. He's warning us against what Dr. Kretzmann called sliding into a false Christianity, where you lie to yourself. You deceive yourself into thinking that you still love Christ, but at the same time, you don't want to let go of your sins. And I know for myself, I can easily ramble through the words of the Lord's Prayer and lay off for you all the explanations to the commandments. I can quote Bible passages to you left and right. And yet are there times when my heart becomes spiritually dead toward my sin, and I just don't care about it anymore, when it no longer bothers me and troubles my conscience? Jesus gives this warning. He says, "There are people who honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That's a pretty harsh word. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. St. Paul says it this way in our text, "They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power." Think about Judas, who was sitting there around the campfire with Christ and his disciples, listening to all of his wonderful stories and parables, observed all his miracles, could probably join in singing many of the psalms that they sang together, appearing to be on the outside at least one that was a very tight follower of Christ, and yet inside of his heart, this greed had taken over to such an extent that he even plots to kill his own Lord. Jesus says about him, it would have been better for him had he never been born. Paul is warning us in our text about a moral degenerating slide that can take place not just in our culture, but inside the walls of the Christian church. In the text, he says to Timothy, "Know this, It's a Greek expression as if you're grabbing someone by the shoulders. You got to understand this. This is really important. How easy it is for this to happen in congregations that Timothy would be serving, and in our own congregations today, where we just start to let things slide morally and get real lax with our attitude because the world has gone so bad. And it's easy to just adopt that same type of thinking for our own personal lives. We start to grow numb to sin. And I see that especially in young people today when it comes to sins of sexuality. Because there has been such a deep drop-off in our society, we have just begun to adopt attitudes about that as if it's okay to still be a Christian and still live in the ways that we know God would completely forbid. We become numb to our sin. Have we possibly lost sensitivity in our own spiritual nervous system of our consciences so that we really don't feel the pain of guilt from the law when it strikes us anymore? The Holy Spirit is trying to wake us up, is trying to give us that sensitivity back. Now we need to distinguish between different ways of dealing with sin. Sin is always sin, okay? But there are different ways that we can deal with sin. There is the sin of weakness that overcomes everybody in the sanctuary, that at times causes us to say or think or do and fall into things that we regret. But the Holy Spirit brings us back through repentance to realize our sin, confess it before God, receive His forgiveness in Christ. That's one form of dealing with sin. But the other one is the one Paul is talking about. And that's what we call a deliberate, headstrong sin, where you just don't care anymore. And it just doesn't bother your conscience anymore. That's the dangerous one that he's writing about. Now, why does the Holy Spirit warn us? He warns us because this kind of thinking will contaminate the flock of Christ. It will contaminate a congregation. That's why he warns Timothy. He says, from such people, when you see Christians thinking like this, from such people, turn away, because it will have a degenerating effect on the entire congregation. Jesus said it this way, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And how true that is. And we see that especially happen. Different theologians through the years have noticed when there becomes a laxity towards sexual sin, it's always followed and coincides with false doctrine creeping into the church. It has a degenerative effect on the mission of the church. Now, God is warning us about this because he doesn't want us to lose what happened in our baptism. He doesn't want us to lose what has been implanted in us, that he, by his grace, selected us to be his own dear children, washed us with the blood of Christ, forgave every sin we've ever committed, even the ones that may be stinging your conscience the most right now, that Christ went to the cross for every one of those. And God loves you and wants you to come to heaven and has given you this love and this desire and this passion toward your Savior and a love also for his word. And it's very difficult for us to keep that word in our daily lives. It is for me too. But through repentance, God brings us back to his grace, brings us back to the cross, takes you back to your baptism on a daily basis when we seek his forgiveness, and dresses us every day then in that beautiful white robe of our Lord's righteousness by which we stand perfect before the throne of God and by which we know we have absolute entrance into the mansions of heaven. The Holy Spirit, who loves you so much, that has done all this for you and given you this status, doesn't want you to lose it. He wants what your parents intended for you when they brought you to that bowl of water. He wants what your parents intended for you to finally come to fruition. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Follow him. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Please join me this morning in the prayer for Monday morning on page 168, page 168 in the front part of your hymn book. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your make me sincere in my love to you and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor to your glory and my salvation. Amen.